Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 19. Title of our thoughts this morning, The Savior That Seeks the Lost. If you would, the book of Luke, chapter 19, we'll begin reading at verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And then verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather through this form of media once again, we ask, Lord, that your hand of blessing will be upon both the speaker and to those who are listening. We ask, Lord, that it could just be a good time of fellowship around the Word of God. And if by chance there is one watching today that doesn't know thee as Savior, Lord, we pray that this could be that day that they would turn their heart and soul over to you. Be with those of our number who are still recovering from the COVID issues, Lord. We pray that that they would each heal fully. And Lord, we ask also for Lorraine Van Lagenhoven's family during her passing, and for the Jerry Rush family, Lord, as he has passed. And Lord, we just ask now that your hand of blessing will be upon the Covenant Baptist Church. Protect us, Lord. Use us, Lord, for your honor and glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. As Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem, he told his disciples what would happen there. But they could not grasp what their Lord was saying. And if you would turn back a page to Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 34, we'll look at the thoughts of Jesus. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto him, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, for this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. As he traveled, many traveled with him. Some were in the crowd thinking that he was going to Jerusalem to deliver Israel from Roman bondage and usher in the kingdom of God. Still others followed him just to see the next miracle that he would perform. In Luke chapter 19, where we have the story of Zacchaeus, Dr. Luke focuses on who Jesus really is as he presents him in a threefold ministry. Number one, first, as the Savior who seeks the lost. Second, as the Master who rewards the faithful. And then third, as the King who offers peace. And our Lord and Savior desires to give us peace, if we are willing to come to him and accept him as Savior. The name Zacchaeus means righteous one, but the supervisor of tax collectors was not living up to his name. May I call him Mr. Z? I won't call him that all the time, but maybe from time to time during our lesson. But certainly the Jewish religious community in Jericho would not have considered him righteous. I mean, after all, he was collecting taxes from his own people as he worked for the unclean Gentiles. And as you know, the tax collector could ask whatever he thought he could get. And whatever was needed for the Romans, he would give, but the rest was his. Though Zacchaeus was a renegade in the eyes of the Jews, he was a precious lost sinner in the eyes of Jesus. May I say this, that the Lord loves sinners, though he may hate the sin, and he desires that men and women will come to repentance, for he doesn't want to see anyone die and go to hell. It is interesting to see the changes Zacchaeus experienced that day, all because Jesus visited Jericho. Point number one, a man became a child. A man became a child. Let us read the first four verses again. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. In the East, it was unusual for a man to be seen running, especially a wealthy government official. Yet Zacchaeus ran down the road like a boy following a parade. Verse 4 tells us that he even climbed a sycamore tree. Now, most of us probably remember climbing up into some tree, either at our own house or maybe at Grandma and Grandpa's house, and climbing up into a tree because, well, it just seemed the thing to do. Curiosity is certainly characteristic of a child. And Zacchaeus was motivated by curiosity that day, for he wanted to see Jesus. What had piqued Zacchaeus' curiosity that day? Was it the large crowd that was passing through Jericho? Did he just happen to have some time away from the office and he sees that? Had Mr. Z heard people talking about this Jesus, the miracle worker, the one that had fed 5,000 men plus women and children? So there was curiosity. In this book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 17, we find, "Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in." And we see here Zacchaeus as a little child desiring to know who Jesus is. So number one, a man became a child. Number two, a seeking man became found. A seeking man. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." In your mind's eye, see what's happening. Jesus, the 12 disciples, his followers, and then those of the city are all marching down, maybe marching is not the right word, but walking down that main street through Jericho. And Zacchaeus desires to see him, and he climbs up into a tree. And Jesus is walking by, and then he stops. Now, I think Jesus probably stopped a lot of times just to talk to them that were near him. He probably had some point that he wanted to explain. And now he stops, And instead of talking to the crowd, he looks up into the tree, and to the amazement of all, there is Zacchaeus sitting on a branch, looking down. And Jesus says to him, not angrily, in love, "Zacchaeus, come down, because I need to go to your house today." I believe it's the only time Jesus asks someone if he can come to their house. And here we find he asks Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus thought he was seeking Jesus, but it was Jesus who was seeking him, even as he sought the woman at the well, for he seeks those who are lost. Romans 3:23 tells us, "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seek after God." It's not until the Holy Spirit puts within us the desire to know Christ. It is not until then that we really have any interest in God. Warren Wiersbe writes, quote, "When Jesus was ministering on earth, he sought out the lost. And today the Holy Spirit through the church is searching for lost sinners," unquote. What does the Covenant Baptist Church need? It needs sinners to come and repent. See, it's good that our own people come. But unfortunately, in today's world, few are interested. A recent Gallup report said that for the first time in decades, there are fewer people today attending the houses of worship, any, be they Jewish or Muslim or Christian. Less than 50% of Americans are actually part of a church. See, what has happened? Well, in the Christian realm, we have so many things open on Sunday that people are working. And so they don't have time for church. And because these places are open, well, people are shopping. People are going. And so people are not in church. And then you have television, which distracts people. And so many other things are calling for people to do things. How many things are planned now on a Sunday? And so church is not something that people care about anymore. And yet the Lord is still seeking to save souls. We do not know how our Lord had worked on the heart of Zacchaeus to prepare him for this meeting. We don't know what had been going through his mind of late. You know, we ponder how and why he is seeking. Could it be that Matthew, the former publican who was now one of the 12, was Mr. Z's friend? Had he told him about Jesus? Had Zacchaeus become weary of wealth and started yearning for something more? I've heard people who have wealth say they don't know who their real friends are because they don't know if people just like them because of what they think they can get from them. And maybe Zacchaeus was tired of being the object of scorn or people laughing at him. But whatever it was, his heart was being prepared for the Savior. So number one, a man became a child. Number two, a seeking man became found. And number three, a small man became big, beginning at verse 6. "And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. It was not Zacchaeus' fault that he was little of stature and could not see over the crowd. He did what he could to overcome his handicap by putting aside his dignity and climbing a tree. In a spiritual sense, all of us are little of stature, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The tragedy is that many lost sinners think they are big. They measure themselves by man's standards, money, possession, position, popularity, authority. Yet Luke 16:15 says, "But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." Folks, can I say this to you? That it's more important to be right in the eyes of God than in the eyes of man. How often we find in today's world to be politically correct is to be biblically wrong. And how sad it is that the church seems to be wanting to know which way to go. Should we go with what is politically correct, or should we go with what is biblically correct? And many churches today are struggling with the issues, when reality is the Word of God tells us where we are to stand. How many of us are like the Church of Laodicea that thinks they have everything, when in reality they have nothing? Hallelujah. Zacchaeus trusted Jesus Christ and became a true son of Abraham, meaning, of course, a child of faith. Romans 4:12 says, "Who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham." Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, Galatians 3:6 and 7. To be a true child of Abraham is to be one who walks in faith. I do hope that you are walking in faith today, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a man who became a child. We have a seeking man become found. We have a small man who became big. And number four, a poor man became rich. A poor man, verses 9 and 10. "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Listen to this thought, please. Never forget that as we look on the outside of a person, God sees the inside of that person. See, on the outside, they may be clothed in a really nice outfit. They might be driving a really nice looking car. They might live in a really nice house. They may have a good position of employment, but if they are lost, what do they have? Virtually nothing. The people of Jericho thought Zacchaeus was a wealthy man, but actually he was only a bankrupt sinner who needed to receive God's gift of eternal life. Did you catch that? He was a bankrupt sinner who needed to receive God's gift of eternal life. The most expensive gift in all the world, no, the universe, is the gift of salvation. That unspeakable gift that Jesus Christ provides. Zacchaeus was not saved because he promised to do good works. He was saved because he responded by faith to Christ's gracious invitation. And he was willing to turn his heart over to Jesus. Having trusted the Savior, he then gave evidence of his faith by promising to make restitution to those he had wronged. To give evidence. I hope the evidence declares us guilty of being born-again believers. God trusting believers. Saving faith is more than pious words and devout feelings. If you would, Luke 18, beginning at verse 9. Luke 18. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Well, you know immediately this is the story of the Pharisee and the publican who go up to worship. But notice that phrase, which trusted in themselves. They are those who are trying to get into heaven another way than through Jesus Christ. And the parable begins, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Can you see Jesus' crowd as they hear him speak? And as he begins to tell the parable, can you tell as they're listening, those who say, a Pharisee, all right, he's a religious person. A publican, hiss, no, we don't like him. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Notice this prayer. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. How many of you fast twice in the week? I fast twice a day. One between breakfast and lunch, and second time between lunch and dinner. My wife is shaking her head saying that doesn't count. Yes, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He does sound spiritual, doesn't he? Notice verse 13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I wonder if Jesus had this parable in mind, because he knew what was going to happen in Jericho, that Zacchaeus would be that publican who would turn his life over to the Lord. It creates a living union with Christ that results in a changed life when we come to him. Number one, a man became a child. Number two, a seeking man became found. Number three, a small man became big. Number four, a poor man became rich. And number five, the host became the guest. Verse six, we read it earlier. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus's house. And Zacchaeus received him joyfully. Joy is a key theme of the New Testament saint. And in the Gospel of Luke, the word joy is found over 20 times in one form or another. The experience of salvation certainly ought to produce joy in the believer's heart. There should be joy that we can gather around the Word of God together. It should bring us joy when we can sing the songs of the faith. It should bring us joy when we have the opportunity to give of our tithes and offerings. Do you have joy in your life? Or do you become resentful because it's time to go to church again? Oh, they want me to sing. Oh, no, they want me to give. No, being a believer should bring joy into our lives. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. I'm glad we can have joy in our lives. Zacchaeus became the guest in his own house, for Jesus was now the master. You know, we have been blessed beyond measure in America. We have so much. And yet, isn't it sad that suicide is at an all-time high? Isn't it sad that we have so many people on antidepressants? Isn't it sad that so many of us struggle with joy in our own lives? He was willing to obey the Lord and do whatever was necessary to establish a genuine testimony before the people. See, there ought to be a change in our lives when we know Christ as our Savior. To be sure, the people criticized Jesus for visiting in a publican's house, but the Lord paid no attention to their words. See, the critics also needed to be saved, but there is no evidence that they trusted Jesus. Which takes us back to the thought of Matthew that there is a broad way that leads to destruction, and many there are that are on it. And there is a narrow way that leads to life, and few that find it. We think about the 10 lepers that came to Jesus, and he healed the 10, but only one came back to give thanks. It seems like the minority is those who are trusting in Christ. In conclusion, when a day begins, you never know how it will end. Oh, you might have a thought as to how it may end, but sometimes it doesn't. For Zacchaeus, the day ended in joyful fellowship with the Son of God. For he was now a changed man with a new life. Jesus is still seeking the lost and yearning to save them. Would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we'll begin reading at verse 6, verses that we read at the funeral this past Thursday for our friend Jerry. And we begin reading at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Christ's desire is to see men and women come to know him as Savior. Romans chapter 10, if you would, we'll turn to verse 9. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm not asking, have you gone to church? Maybe even are a member of a church. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you give tithes and offerings. The question is, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you asked him to save your soul? Beginning at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to die for your sins? Do you have faith that he did this? And have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Zacchaeus seemed to have everything. And yet, literally, he had nothing. Because he didn't have Jesus Christ. And when the opportunity knocked, he answered and threw open his heart door and asked Jesus to come in and to save his soul. I hope you have done that also. And if you need to talk to somebody about it, please give us a call. We'd be glad to explain to you what it means to come to know Lord as Savior. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for the story of Zacchaeus. We thank you, Lord, that you love us one and all. Be it the woman at the well, or be it Zacchaeus who had all that life had to offer. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.